This is the Reverend Christy Hoard from St. John's Episcopal Church in Pensacola, Florida. Thank you for tuning in to our podcast, St. John's Talks, a collection of sermons, interviews, and speaker events here at St. John's Episcopal Church. I hope you enjoy.
In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. So there was a very elderly gentleman, very well-dressed, hair well-groomed, had a great-looking suit, a flower in his lapel, a fresh flower that smelled pretty, and he had a nice little hint of a good aftershave, presenting a well-looked-after image. And he walks into this very upscale cocktail lounge. And seated at the bar is this elderly, lovely looking lady as well. And so he strides up over to the bar and sits next to her, and he orders a drink. He takes a sip and he turns over to her and he says, "So tell me, do I come here often?" Do I come here often? It's interesting because sometimes we get lost on this journey, don't we? And it doesn't matter how young or how old we are. Sometimes we forget where we're headed and where we're going and even where we have been. But today, again, in our readings and our scripture, we're continuing on this theme that we heard a lot of last week, this theme of love. Now, sometimes I do believe, and you may have heard this, sometimes things do get lost in translation. And I believe that this word love is one of those things that tends to get lost in translation. Now in the Hebrew, ancient Hebrew, biblical Hebrew, that Jesus and his followers would have been well versed in, the word that they use for love most often is this word called chesed. And it means more than just sort of a loving affection. It's an embodiment of loving kindness. You see, it's interesting, again, this embodiment of this love of kindness and this idea that we translate that into one word that means love. It's the same word that we use for love in the English language. How about how we feel about our partner? The same word love that we use about how we feel about our children. How we feel about our pets. Oh, I love my pet, my dog. How we feel about our job. I just love my job. Even our yard. Gosh, doesn't my yard look great? I love my yard. My house is so lovely and comfortable. I love my house. And even our favorite pair of shoes. Now, it seems a little odd, doesn't it, that the love that I express for my spouse and children is the same love of a good pair of reliable, comfortable shoes. Sometimes things do get lost in translation. But obviously here Jesus is talking about a kind of love that is much bigger, something more encompassing, like that word chesed. Now in our New Testament readings, the New Testament of our Bible would have been written in Greek. So it's translated into English from Greek. Now, the Greeks had at least six, there's probably more, some people say eight, six different words for love. That seems a bit more appropriate, doesn't it? Six different words for love. Eros being that sort of passionate, right? That sexual passionate love that you feel when you meet the one you think is the one. Then there's the philia, or deep friendship. Now, I don't speak Greek, so if I mispronounce these, y'all can correct me later. The philia, that deep friendship, you know, you've got a friend, someone you just adore and love, has been a great companion, but not the same, right, as that passionate love you might feel for a partner or a spouse. Then there's ludus, or a playful love, right? This might be the kind of love that we appreciate with our pets. And then there's pragma, a long-standing love. A love that works its way through all kinds of difficulties and challenges and sustains itself. And then there's philousia. Again, I don't speak Greek. I think that's how it's pronounced. The love of self. A deep appreciation for who we are on this earth at this time and this place. And our spot in it and our call that God has put us here for a purpose. That's the love of self. And then there's love called agape. Agape being unconditional. Now, if we think about those, even those six different words for love, they all mean very different things, do they not? And it's this agape love, this unconditional love that Jesus is referring to. Unconditional. I might argue that a dog, my dog, definitely has unconditional love. In the same way. But each of these kinds of love require a different type of commitment, a different way of being with. That is what this word abide means. To be with. Not to do for or to receive from, but to be, to simply be with. And it is through this abiding in this unconditional love, sitting still and accepting God's unconditional love and presence in our life, it is in this abiding that we obtain God's promises, is what we are told today. That in our prayer, it says that there are things that God wants for us that we can't even begin to imagine. And it's through this abiding love in God that we will begin to be transformed and receive these promises that we can't imagine. And those promises are fulfilled in joy. Now, Jesus said, I bring you joy. I want your joy to be complete. Now, I think there's an important distinction here. Joy is not the same thing as happiness. Joy is something more. Happiness is fleeting. Joy is an abiding presence. Happiness is fleeting, and there are always things that are constantly threatening to take away our happiness. Because in many ways, happiness is a circumstantial feeling. Something good happens to me today, and I'm happy. But joy comes from inside. The joy that we can find in Jesus' abiding love is more than a passing emotion. Joy is an attitude, an orientation into the world. Joy, as we are told, is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. And then Jesus says, and you are my friends, and my commandment is to love, and I'm going to use that word agape, this unconditional love. When you love other people, then you will begin to experience my joy, and then your joy will be complete, and then your joy will spill out and to others. See, whereas happiness is a feeling we often get because something external has happened, joy is something that can spill out of us onto others. To help us to love and care for others too. And maybe you've encountered someone like that in your life. Maybe you are that person for many people. When they encounter you, that they can just sense this abiding joy that just emerges and comes out of you. That it doesn't matter what happens in the world, that there's still a positive, still an encouragement of something inside that says there's more to it than what's happening to me right now. And therefore, though I may not be happy because of the circumstances, I can still feel joy. Joy that could spill over. Today we hear, as Jesus says in the gospel, he says, God loves Jesus, right? Then Jesus loves the disciples, right? And then we are invited to abide in that love. Jesus says, God wants you there. That God and I are always around, and all the time we are inviting you, come and join us in this feeling of agape, this unconditional love. Because it's through Jesus, it says, I love this word, friends. No longer are we servants just here to do the bidding of God. We are friends. I read the other day, there was a funny article, and somebody said, speaking of friends, you know, when we're growing up, friends are so important. Not that they're not important when we get older, but I think when we get older, we realize that if we have two or three really good friends, we're quite lucky. But Jesus says, regardless of how it may be, you are friends. Jesus wants to be our friend. Wants to hear our darkest secrets, our biggest laments, to share our happiest moments, to sit in joy with us in those moments, to cry with us, to weep with us when we are sad. So I love that he uses, we are friends now. I have taught you the ways. And so friends, this gets passed on to us. I have taught you the ways. You now know what my Father believes and thinks and wants from you. We find those in the Holy Scripture, in the Gospels. And now we are friends. And somebody said the other day, like I said, there was a picture of the Last Supper. You know, I think it was Da Vinci, right? Where Jesus is there, and then it's the long table. You all probably seen it, and then all of the disciples are around. And said, did anybody point out the miracle that Jesus in his 30s had 12 good friends? But Jesus says, I'm always your friend. And that abiding in that reality and in that love is a true way to joy and happiness. And that it's our job to create an environment. He says, when you love one another, this is my commandment, that you may love one another. And when you do that, this unconditional love, he doesn't say you have to like everybody. When you love one another, you approach them with love, this agape, this unconditional love. You see Christ in the other person. You create an environment where humanity can learn how to give and how to receive love. When you are able to abide in God's love, and you are able to love another unconditionally, recognizing them as a child of God, regardless of whether you agree with them or disagree with them or think they're ugly or think they're the most beautiful person in the world, regardless, when you can show forth love, recognizing them as a child of God, then we are creating an environment where humanity can learn how to give and receive love. That's a big call, friends. And it's not always easy, and that is why we need community. We need other people who are on the same journey of trying to figure out what in the heck it looks like to love someone unconditionally. Some people are difficult to love. Some people make it quite easy. But Jesus doesn't say it's only those who make it easy. Jesus says, all of them, I command you, because it is in that that they will come to know me. Rick and I made a mistake yesterday of trying to go to the beach at like 4 o'clock. So the traffic was bad, both traffic coming to, like a tourist coming in town, and then everybody leaving the beach. I don't know if there was something going on, we missed it. But as we were stuck at the intersection there right by Casino Beach, and as you can go down to Fort Pickens Road and go Via de Luna, and we were there, and there was a man there with a sign, young man, and it had a sign about Jesus. I couldn't quite read the sign, but he had a megaphone. And I'll give you a guess about what he was talking about. He was talking about judgment. How God was punishing all of us. And the interesting thing was, he wasn't being mean or harsh, right? He was very clear. He was calm. But it was just him. And I'm like, well, if that's true, why aren't there more people like, yeah, gathered around? Because there were plenty of people around. So I rolled down my window just to get a better listen. You know, maybe I need to hear my word too. And all of these people were walking across the street at that intersection. You know, it goes 4 different ways. Walking across the street, and people would look, but most people just kind of walked by. There was no one being rude or nasty or telling him to bug off. And it was interesting in that moment because I thought, those people who are letting you be you right, are showing more love of Christ than you are condemning everyone that's walking off the beach. Right? They are being more Christ-like in their willingness to allow you to have your opinion and your voice. You know, it wasn't disrupting, it wasn't hurting anybody. And they weren't being ugly, they weren't like smirking or laughing or throwing things, you know, they were just carrying on like, okay, well. They were being more Christ-like in that moment. That, my friends, is a way of being able to look at another person and recognize them as a child of God with all of their faults and sometimes all of their wrong ideas. And I'm sure that in his message somewhere, there were probably an element of truth, but we couldn't hear it through all the noise. So it's interesting when God said, when Jesus says, abide in our love, it's that abiding where we sit within the joy that we can encounter those difficult times and those difficult people and those difficult places and be able to move on. And just like the joke that we heard, the elderly man asked, how often do I come here? Do I come here often? We have to ask for directions. And again, that's why we have friends. Jesus says we need friends. We need reliable, truthful, faithful friends. The Quakers, if you're familiar, the Quakers, when they make a decision in their communities, the Quakers, a religious group, in their communities, when a big decision is to be made, they don't make it alone. They have a group that gets together and they talk about it and they discern together. We're starting to get into the idea of the Spirit, that the Spirit is what tells us what God is saying, that the Spirit is what Jesus leaves with us. It's that little still small voice. You've heard that phrase before. And we're hearing more and more about the Spirit. The Spirit gave Peter the words that people needed to hear. So when we abide and create space to be simply with God and rest in God's love for us, that's when we create space to hear the Spirit. But we don't do this alone. We all need help figuring out where we are and where we are going. We all need people to be in our life that can point us back in the right direction when we go astray. We all need people in our life that can tell us when we're overreacting or when we're not acting enough. But this idea of agape love, unconditional love, is where it begins, not where it ends. Amen.